Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Bill Hubbard is here. William S. Hubbard is the name on all of his books, all of which I think I've launched on this show since 1998. And his new one is called Achieving Performance Results, Boosting Performance in the Virtual Workplace. And he's the original human resources expert in our brain trust all the way back from the beginning. And he is the former president of Hubbard & Associates. And he's our good friend, a long time now. Bill Hubbard, welcome back.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We're going to have to celebrate your 23rd anniversary sometime in the near future with us, Bill. Hey, Bill, I know one of the things you got on your mind today is a little bit of a touchy subject, a little delicate subject, and that's sexual harassment. But primarily, at least initially, from the perspective of you're the owner, you're the manager, people are working for you, and you have a complaint, right? What could that sound like? What would a sexual harassment complaint sound like?
I only wish it would stop. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I just wish it would stop.
That's the common theme, right? People, when someone comes in, this is what's happening, and I don't want to cause anybody to lose their job. I just wish they'd leave me alone.
Exactly, and I've had very literally as an HR manager, somebody came into my office and tell me that, and so you know, then I sat down and I wanted to see what the circumstances were and who was doing it and what they were doing and asked a few questions in relation to that, and I was able to report that to management, and then ultimately I corroborated the information. Yeah. I was thinking there's been some turnover in that department, and I hired some people, and they've left.
And they didn't tell you in the exit interview. They didn't complete the exit interview and say, you know, when you say why are you leaving, they didn't say because that person harassed me.
Exactly, they did not. So then I called them back, and I said, well, I explored a couple of issues, and you got some. Well, yeah, he was coming on to me, and that happened for two other individuals, and then I had corroborating information that ultimately led to the discharge of that particular offender.
And just to be the devil's advocate on this a little bit, because somebody has to do it. Who gets to decide if it is sexual harassment? See, that's one of the things that has to be determined, because some people are more sensitive to this than other people are. Some people are on the other side of the issue are more obtuse than others. Some people are just a little naive and maybe not very worldly. Maybe they don't realize what they're doing. Is this something that, if you're an employer, would you ever say to a person who was complaining, have you tried to deal with this yourself? Have you said, I don't like that, don't do that again? Would you ever say that?
That was one of my initial questions at the interview is, you know, how did you respond? And as an EEOC investigator, that was one of the things we would always ask, is how did you respond? And what you've just described is that kind of that drawing a line message that confronts the offender and tells them how you feel. So that certainly is one of the recommended responses that the victim should take.
Because it's like poking a bully in the nose, right? I mean, typically... And again, I'm not being cavalier about this at all, but the women that I know who have, or the other people, and we probably shouldn't just say women, the people that I know who have endured this kind of thing have said that for the most part, just telling the other person, look, this is not what I don't want this, I don't like this, stop doing that. And more times than not, it stops it. Right? Is that
should stop it, and at least that's the first step to take, to let them know it's inappropriate and that it should stop. What I used to tell employers is, if she feels harassed, consider it her being harassed and take steps to control that so that the offender doesn't continue to do that.
Right.
And that's the first step. But oftentimes it seems to go beyond that because a lot of these individuals that do engage in this kind of behavior, they're kind of like a sexual predator, and they just
right.
test and test and test with all of these little nuances that are very subtle, kind of building up and building up to get a reaction. And
what
a
if
lot
for
of
some
women,
for some people, it's not that they would they might never act out on what their behavior sounds like. They just like having that kind of control, don't they?
It is a control element, and that's part of it, and they like to have that control. I don't know if I'd say they'd never act out on it because you don't ask, you don't get, kind of a...
Right.
You know, I used to sell, and so I recognize that there's part of that mentality to it, is they're always fishing around, always got a line in the water trying to see what's out there, and maybe sometimes someone's going to respond and say, yeah, so it's a potential problem that can get it far out of hand. And when a woman feels harassed, I would tell the employer, then draw a line and communicate to your people, this is inappropriate, don't go across that line. And it's better to resolve it internally than have the matter get into an investigation from a state or federal agency or into a lawsuit
right.
that's going to get you into court and make public publicity of the whole issue.
Would you ever say to the person with a complaint, is there any way that you've ever done anything to cause this person to behave that way? Would you ever say that to them? Did you ever make this person believe that they had the reason to come to say these things or do these things to you?
I don't think I would say it quite that directly. I would explore the interaction between the two people
right.
and try to get a sense of how the nature of it is. Generally, when I interviewed charging parties when I was an investigator at the EEOC, they all described similar conduct. It began subtly and grew and grew and grew.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes their reaction was, I tried to ignore it. I tried to avoid him. And then he kept coming after me. Well, I have to work mm-hmm. with him, and so I got to interact with him when I work. And then he keeps bringing this stuff up. So when you see that kind of repetitive pattern, that goes beyond just, oh, gee, you look nice today. And
right.
You know, stop wearing all that low cleavage kind of a stuff.
Uh-huh.
Typically, it's more the individual who is inclined to do this does it and does it and does it
yeah,
until somebody draws the line.
Repeat offenders. Have you ever had a case where it was not a woman complaining?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. I've seen male on male, female on female, and female towards male.
Interesting. See, it happens across the board there. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more wisdom and more perspective and more policies. That's what we're going to talk about. How do you prevent this from happening in the beginning? After the break with...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.